Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Maria Sensi-Selner, great name.
Thank you so much.
It, to me, sounds like a duchess from an old chestnut parlor room play who is talked about in like the first and second act, but doesn't make her official entrance until the third act. And when she does, it's magnificent, and her costumes are just great.
That's much better than what I think. I think it's a mouthful,
yeah.
but it all has meaning. So
it rings. Yes, musically, in a way. So you are a conductor as well as the artistic director of Resonance Works. But outside of Resonance Works, conducting is your main passion and occupation, can we say? That sounds a little stuffy, but...
Yeah, but occupation, that's good. We like that. That's better than you know, sideline.
I guess so.
So...
Now, kids, you know, usually start out when they join a band or something in middle school or high school. You know, they're always asking for mom and daddy, I want to play saxophone or tuba or something. But a lot of kids, I don't think, ask for, you know, I want a conductor baton. I want to be a conductor. So is it something that develops later in someone's musical career?
I think it does.
Yeah.
Because when I was that kid, I wanted to play the flute.
Yeah? Did you?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, retired. Don't do that anymore.
Moved beyond.
Beyond that and some other things. I played the piano a little bit. Don't really do that so much anymore. Did a lot of singing, and in high school I was in the choirs, all of the choirs that there were, and marching band. And I was actually drum major in the marching band for 2 years. So that was the first conducting, serious conducting, that I ever did out on a football field. So.
That's tough. You've got that on your resume.
It's not really on my resume, but I'm telling you.
Right.
I'm only telling you.
Well, no, this is great. This is what Berg Vivant's for, all that stuff that's not on your resume, all the kooky, crazy things that we might not know about. So, and I imagine that a conductor does need to have a varied, you know, line of experience in music. You know? So what was it that made you say, yes, that conductor's baton is for me?
Well, it's interesting because I went to Carnegie Mellon as an undergraduate, and I studied both music composition and also engineering. And I actually didn't think I was going to have a career in music.
Do you see a parallel between those two at all?
I think there's a lot of overlap. I think there's a lot of synergy there that is below the surface. Actually, really brilliant woman that I met a couple months ago said, you know, when you decide what you're going to do with your life, you have to decide what you want to do, and then you have to decide what kinds of things you want to handle, right?
Yeah.
So often we're like, oh, it's engineering or it's music or it's history, but if you're good at leading or organizing or analyzing things, that can be numbers, that can be people, that can be music, that can be all kinds of things. So I think there's a lot of the same skills that are used. So I actually worked as an engineer for a while, and I was singing in the Mendelssohn Choir, and then I started conducting the non-major orchestra at Carnegie Mellon, which is called the All-University Orchestra, and still exists. And those were the things I lived for. The light bulb went off. I said, I chose maybe slightly the wrong path, and went back and said, conducting, I should really learn how to do this for real.
Wow.
And so I went back to school.
So what do you enjoy most about conducting?
The collaboration with the artists, also getting to know great works of music,
mm-hmm.
whether that's any kind of music that you bring to life. It's kind of it's like going on an archaeological dig. You have to sort of see there's studying to be done, not just of the score, but of the composer and other kinds of styles, what was going on in the world, what would have been assumed. If we're talking about really old music, what would have been assumed about a piece that maybe doesn't appear on the page? And bringing all that to life, because music is not about the ink on the page. It has the element of time, which other arts, except for maybe dance, other arts don't have the element of time. You know, visual arts, they're there and
right.
they exist. So bringing that to life is really exciting.
So you are also founder of Resonance Works.
Yes.
So how did that come about? Where was the seed planted for Resonance Works?
Well, actually, when I was in grad school at Carnegie Mellon in conducting, and I had done a couple of projects on my own, kind of test the waters, and I really enjoyed bringing people together to do those projects, and they were on a smaller scale, chamber orchestra,
sure.
that kind of thing, and there was always the idea that, well, we should start something. There were some colleagues of mine, and we should start something, and that would be really great, and we could do these things that other people aren't doing, and that kind of got kicked around for a couple of years, to the point where, what would it be? Would it be a chamber orchestra? Well, that didn't seem like quite the right thing.
Mm.
Did I want to start an opera company? Well, there are four opera companies in this town.
And how wonderful
and
that is.
It's a fabulous thing. But we wanted to do opera, but maybe that wasn't exactly the right thing either. So finding this interesting mix of repertoire where it's not about being an orchestra or an opera company. It's about putting together musical projects with really fabulous artists. And that's really when Resonance Works was born. We kind of put a deadline. I put a deadline on us to do this, which is in 2013, was the 200th anniversary of Giuseppe Verdi.
Mm.
And I love Verdi. My dad loves Verdi. That grew up with that. And Pittsburgh Opera is doing Aida. And I discovered that no one had done his Macbeth in 27 years in Pittsburgh, and what a shame that was. And one of my closest collaborators, Amelia Darcy, is a fabulous soprano. She lives in Mount Lebanon, and she's a Verdian soprano. And I said, we started talking, and the joke is that I never really asked her. We just sort of started talking about it like we were going to do it, and we did it. And that was the birth of the company.
In 2013, for Verdi's 200th birthday.
And it was right before Halloween. With all the witches and Beth, and it was right after the Aida Pittsburgh Opera did, so it was this big Verdi celebration month, and we kind of found the right spot, the right moment in time to start.
And I didn't realize that Resonance Works was that new, although 2013 to me seems like it was yesterday. Now we're going into 2016 here, but still relatively
scary,
new.
It's pretty, quite new.
So I mean, how has it been though in its first couple of years?
It's been wonderful. I mean, it's a hard thing to get people who you know would appreciate what you're doing to know about it. So
really?
Marketing is expensive.
It is.
It really is.
Yes.
And the biggest thing is word of mouth. Mm-hmm. When somebody's passionate about something, they tell their friends, and they tell their family, and they tell their colleagues, and that has been, there's an organic growth that naturally happens. So things have gone really well. We did two main projects the first season. Last season we decided, in order to not be labeled an opera company or an orchestra or whatever, we had to kind of lay a footing for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with a four project season that showed the breadth of what we are and what we aim to do. And this year we've added some chamber projects in the midst of those. So artistically we're growing significantly, and the audiences get bigger and bigger, which is a great thing.
So what is Resonance Works' place in Pittsburgh? Because we're talking a little bit about how it formed, is what can we do that, maybe is not already being done. So what do you feel that Resonance Works is doing that, isn't really being done in the Pittsburgh musical scene?
Well, some of that is about the repertoire that we're choosing. So you know, starting with Macbeth, something that hadn't been done in so many years. We followed that up with the opera last season was Elixir of Love, which is, no one would call that a rarity. It's done all the time, but we did it in an interesting way. We were actually in the Pittsburgh Opera building, and we set it in a cabaret where you could sit at the table and have the janitor tenor like singing in your face. So we're trying to do things at a very high level to be complementing the offerings of Pittsburgh Opera and Pittsburgh Symphony and all of the professional companies, the big professional companies, and to do things in a little more intimate and maybe different combinations of repertoire in an interesting way. That's our goal.
I always wonder about these pieces that don't get done a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you feel is the reason? Like something like Verdi's Macbeth. Why has it been 27 years since Pittsburgh saw it prior to Resonance Works doing it? What is it about these pieces that tend to acquire dust on the shelf and until some enterprising young conductor and artistic director says, no, we're going to really turn this out?
Well, I don't have an answer about Macbeth because it's an amazing piece. And actually, it's gained a lot of ground nationally. I mean, the Met just did it. It was on the HD broadcast last year. And, you know, it's a wonderful, I mean, it lives a little more in the bel canto opera, so people think of Verdi as more the later, middle and later period pieces. So I don't have a good answer for that. I think, you know, it was about time it was done in Pittsburgh again. There was no reason that it should have been on the shelf. Sometimes you just, you know, it's out of the mix for a while. But other pieces, this year we're doing Massenet's Cendrillon, which is Cinderella, and that is one that is definitely on the shelf. It hasn't been done. I think it was done in Pittsburgh in 1995 the last time, and then it was probably, we believe it was done in English. But there are just other pieces of repertoire that somehow are just always chosen before it. I think that's often the reason. If you're going to do Massenet, people do Manon, or if you're going to do a tale about Cinderella, Rossini's is much more famous. So sometimes that's the case, and you know.
I'm most familiar with Disney's version.
Yeah, well, this is super close to Disney's version. Actually, it comes directly. The story comes directly from the Perrault fairy tale, French Perrault fairy tale. So the only difference between the Massenet and Disney version is that her father is still alive.
Oh, yeah, you don't hear about him.
You don't hear about Dad. Dad plays a big role.
Because, wait, it's the wicked stepmother.
Well, you have
and a stepsisters.
Yep, we still
so
have those.
So this would be her biological father, then.
Yeah. The fella that married the stepmother.
Yeah, man, he had very poor taste.
I mean, Disney did something by not dealing with him.
Yeah.
But Massenet does, so and he's in the fairy tale. So we're super excited about that.
Well, that will be something to see and hear.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There is a lot of theatricality to Resonance Works productions, then.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when I went back to grad school for conducting, one of the first things that happened was I was thrown in the opera pit from pretty much the first semester, and in 2 years conducted three operas. I was either going to love it or hate it, and I love it, and I think it's the best thing ever. And I think there's so much drama in all music that can be brought out, and whether that's through staging or I really love putting pieces of music together that kind of they say something really powerful on their own, but when you combine them, you can create a storyline.
Would we call that a mashup?
Yeah, kind of a mashup. We did a program last March where the big pieces were the Pergolesi Stabat Mater and the Shostakovich Chamber Symphony. Well, those are not pieces that I think would show up on the same program.
Right.
And there we also had some works of Bach and the Adagietto from the Mahler Fifth Symphony, and it was all looking at ways people lament and mourn and deal with sorrow. And you know, and there was some pieces that show more love and consolation, and some that where you see the, you know, the angst and the, you know, anger and twistedness, and you know, so you know, telling a story. I'm always interested in telling a story, whether that be in the opera or through what is traditionally concert music.
Well, I think I just learned something there. Actually, I learned a lot of things in what you just said, but probably the most glaring is that I feel I have been pronouncing Bach incorrectly. It's Bach.
Well, both are
oh, okay.
acceptable, but in
what does
German,
he prefer?
There's Bach. It has a little guttural, okay. Yeah, a little extra.
I'll be Bach. You be Beethoven.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, there's I think your very next production coming up is becoming somewhat of a tradition, correct? And
yes.
That is Amal and the Night Visitors.
Yes.
Which almost sounds, if you didn't know, but it could be like a creepy, threatening kind of story. But no, it is not.
It's not at all. It's the total opposite of that. Yeah.
And that is here at beautiful Third Presbyterian. Off of Fifth Avenue. Beautiful, beautiful yeah. church. I had actually never been in here before. It's gorgeous.
It's stunning. One of our players last year said, it's a chocolate church because of all the woodwork. And if you imagine at the holiday season, you just walk in here as a little kid, be like, it's like being in a chocolate chapel. It's just, it's beautiful.
I am not going to stop thinking about that
I'm
now.
Sorry about that.
Can we go to like Mon Ami Chocolate after
yeah,
this?
Yeah, we should do that.
I'm going to have to.
We should do that.
Well, now, I mean, about your locations, do you always perform in the same place or you move around?
No, and actually that was one of the things that we, in our mission, was to consider the space where we perform carefully mm-hmm. and to try to perform in places that in some way, heighten the musical experience. So Amal, we are so glad to be back here, and our production of Amal, this is the second year, and a friend of mine says it's not a tradition until you do it twice. So here we are making a tradition out of it. It's a fully staged production. Amal is a 45-minute chamber opera,
mm-hmm.
And it's about a little boy who is crippled, and his mom, and they don't have a lot, and somehow these three visitors come, the three kings on their way to Bethlehem, and
wow.
they have an encounter, and there's it's funny and it's heartwarming, and you know, it's a great piece for the whole family.
And for the holidays too, because there's the sort of the
oh,
Christmas
yeah.
tie
yeah.
in
it's,
there.
It's a wonderful tradition. It's again something that used to be done in Pittsburgh quite a lot, but hadn't been done in about 8 to 10 years. So we were really happy to bring that back. And we're pairing it again, we're making a mix, another mashup of stuff. So like last year we used some music of Benjamin Britten. This year we have Respighi's Tragico Botticelliano, which the middle movement is the Adoration of the Magi. So you'll hear from the familiar Christmas carol tune in there that Respighi spins into a wonderful orchestral piece.
All right. Well, I do hope this becomes a tradition for Resonance Works.
Mm-hmm,
I am a sucker for Christmas tradition. I really am. I get excited about those things. I love bringing out old Christmas decorations that are, you know, decades old, just because it's tradition.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need things like this. Yeah. I really hope it does become something that we're seeing from Resonance Works year after year. But year after year, will you differentiate it? Will this year's Amal be different from last year's Amal?
Well, the production will be quite similar. There's a couple of differences. First of all, our cast has all come back.
That's great.
Every single member of our cast, including Rob Frankenberry, who I know you've talked to.
Oh,
in the past,
yeah, is he
and
a fun
on our
guy?
Board. He plays King Casper, who's kind of a little hard of hearing, and a little quirky
oh,
fellow.
Oh, but he's great.
And including our Amal, Sabrina Knox was our Amal last year, and she's going to do that again this year. So we want that heartwarming tradition. I love traditions too, mm-hmm. and there's some things you just don't want to change. And at the same time, we want to make it interesting for people to come back year after year.
Right. And children under 10 free. That's
absolutely.
Great.
Absolutely. With an adult.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Don't just drop your children off.
Right. Right. Right.
But with,
so something for the kids too, and you can save $5 if you purchase in advance. And we can get tickets at resonanceworks.org.
Mm, that's right.
Excellent. Three performances, December 11th, 12th, and 13th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here at Third Presbyterian. And you'll be conducting.
I will be conducting both pieces on both portions of the program. And the whole thing will be about 90 minutes. So it's actually really, really nice for families with children. It's not that
yeah.
long of an evening to sit and pay attention.
That's perfect. Yeah, and the evening shows are at 7:30, so not too late. Mm-hmm. Perfect to get a little dinner beforehand, you know?
Yeah,
let's see what's good around here. And I guess we're kind of the Oakland area. What are your faves?
We're actually a couple blocks walking distance to Walnut Street in Shadyside.
That's true,
Closest. That's the closest places, and there's a lot of stuff over there. I'm a sucker for the gelato at Mercurio's.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That's wonderful, and there's a, what else? There's Shady Grove. I had the biggest salad of my entire life at Shady Grove.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, was it Pittsburghified with fries and steak on it?
No, but I don't know if they have one of those. They have actually quite a menu. And then there's Thai place over there.
We've got great food in Pittsburgh. Oh, absolutely.
Good places. Yeah, and it's very walkable from here.
So there is no reason not to see it.
There's really no reason not to see it. Yeah, and we do it three times. We know December is super busy, and it's really hard not to conflict with every other arts organization in the city.
Oh, I know, yeah.
But, you know, we hope with three opportunities.
Well, you know, I think there's a couple philosophies on that, especially where Pittsburgh is concerned, because you talk with a lot of people that, you know, plan performances and special events. Everybody says, don't do anything near the Christmas. Don't do anything near the holidays. So nobody does. But then actually, because nobody does, I think that tends to be one of the best times to do things because nothing else is going on. But music, I think, is very, very popular, usually in the December holiday weeks, right?
Yeah, and it's a time of year where I think people seek out something special to do with their family or you know, just to kind of mark the occasion, to make family memories together by going and doing that. People go to concerts and to see the Nutcracker, and you know, there's all that kind of tradition, and we're really happy to be a part of that.
Amal will be our next great Christmas Pittsburgh tradition. Yes. So we did talk a little bit about what's coming up for Resonance Works in the coming year, 2016. But again, as a young company, where do you see Resonance Works going in the next 5-10 years? What is your long-term outlook?
Well, I think we've set up kind of an infrastructure in terms of the season that could go and grow within that infrastructure for a while. So we love the big projects we're doing this year. We actually started a couple smaller chamber projects. We're doing what we're calling Resonance Chamber, pun intended, Resonance Chamber.
I see.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have to point that out to more people than not, but at the Livermore in East Liberty. So those are evenings where you can go and have a cocktail and have have some of their wonderful hors d'oeuvres and enjoy some chamber music in a really intimate setting. And those have been very successful. We've had two of those so far and two more coming up in the spring. And what has been fabulous about that is the artists that we work with, the professional artists, singers, and instrumentalists, have been able to take control of those and curate them and say, here's music I think would be really cool to do in a setting like this. And if they put together a couple programs that have been really, really fun. And I think that they've gone so well that I could see that going in several different directions in the future. And really, I mean, we are really committed to supporting professional artists. That art is important, and it is a fine living. And we want to, and some of the growth I think will be internal in that we get to a point where it's more and more sustainable for us to do what we're doing now, in a way that, you know, really people can still pay their bills, which is important.
Yeah. Well, we are thrilled to have you on the Pittsburgh scene.
Well, thank you.
I really hope Resonance Works is here to stay. And how did you come up with the name? I mean, because we talked about a little pun there. Resonance Works.
That's interesting because some people didn't like it at first, but the idea of resonance, that is a pun, that it has to do with musical resonance, but also things that resonate with you as a person, things that resonate with me as an artist. I kept going back to that word. We actually had a couple friends of mine and I at various times had little brainstorming sessions. My dear friend Joe, we went out and he's like, okay, and we did all this word association and we came up with all this massive list of words and that, you know, had little or a lot to do with what we were doing, and try to, you know, just come up with something that just felt really, really right. And I just kept coming back to resonance. And the works part, I really love because I'm a native Pittsburgher, and you know, thinking about what Pittsburgh was known for earlier in the 20th century, you know, steelwork and mm-hmm. aluminum and glass and all of those places were works. You have the Homestead Works, and you have the, you know, so there's works is a pun also, so or has multiple meanings. So so that's a connection to Pittsburgh history.
I love it. I think it's very clever.
And so that's, there's a lot of meaning behind it, and we just sort of ended up there.
Good. Yeah, so if there's any naysayers, send them to me. I've got your back on this.
Great, that sounds great.
So last thing, are we able to do some conducting with our all?
Oh, sure. Sure, you want a lesson?
Yes, so that'd be great.
You know, I went to Helmut Rilling, I don't know if you know that name. He's a conductor of Bach, he's a German conductor. Mm-hmm. He says, one always goes down, so we always go down. Mm-hmm. And then if we're gonna go in four, we go this way. We say floor, you can imagine door, ceiling. Floor, door, ceiling. See, now you're ready to go.
Yes, this is exactly how I want to be conducting myself over a martini. Beautiful.
It's perfect.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.